Blog Talk Radio.
Next time you're riding down the road in your car, sing this to the Lord. You'll get where you're going much faster. Come. Let us.
Come, let us adore Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Worship and adore Him.
Worship and adore Him.
Come on, say it again.
Let us come, let us adore Him.
Kneel down before Him.
Kneel down before Him.
In Your presence, Lord, worship.
Worship and adore Him.
Help me say,
Emmanuel.
Come on and say, Emmanuel. Learn to praise Him even in the midst of a trial.
Spirit Alive Christian Podcast Network, your global transformation station. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Wounded No More for this Thursday, December the 10th, 2020. And now, here's your host, Prophetess Vanessa Carver.
Thank you. Thank you, Bishop. It's good to be here again, once again, on the Wounded No More
Today we're going to be talking about humility. And this is one of those topics that we have, you know, we think we know what it is and what it's not, but I'm telling you, it's one of those ingredients that we need in order to grow, in order to serve, in order to love, in order to be united as the body of Christ. We need humility. Let's go to a simple, not a very exhausted definition of what it is, but it's a modest, low view of one's own importance. Another definition I found was freedom from pride. I like this one. Freedom from pride or arrogance. And that's another one. The Bible has many things to say about humility. Jesus had many things to say about humility. His whole life was an example of humility. A little conversation, short conversation I had with Bishop just briefly about this is the perfect time because of when we think about his birth, this is the time when we celebrate it. We think about his birth and this that whole thing about humility, coming to the lowest of lows. And we know the story. But just think about that and just think about the course of his life, especially those last 3 years of ministry, as I begin to talk about this. And once again, I'm going to reiterate and emphasize the fact that make this scriptures, whatever scriptures or verses pop out to you, make it your own. Don't change it, of course. But if it's speaking to you on any level, take it in and use it for something to speak with the Lord about. Or use it to take in prayer, something to journal about, and use it, of course, to do it. Usually, the things that we study, the things that we meditate upon, will be things that we do. They are part of our lifestyle. They're not just things that we do occasionally and ritualistically. They are part of how we live our life. And so I always want to say, in order to stay out of a place of woundedness and not revisiting old wounds and to really be free, it takes some level of humility. One of the reasons is because, that I'm just going to briefly share this with us, because when you are healed from certain things and things become new, it takes a level for you to relearn about who you are in Christ, who you were meant to be in the first place. That takes a level of humility to look back again and remove the old and put on the new. I was also today on my own private time was in the book of Colossians, chapter 3. And, of course, if anybody's familiar with that, I'm going to just briefly summarize this. It's like putting on and putting off. Put on the new life. Put on and take off the old man. And that takes a level of humility to do that, to stay teachable. One of the things that I always grasp for is when I think of humility, I think of, am I teachable in this area? Can the Lord teach me anything and show me anything? Can I be taught by someone else? If I am humble enough to receive it? Am I receptive? Am I submitted to what's being offered to me? Am I humble enough? You know? And so when I think of humility, I think of teachability. And, of course, you can't have too much pride and selfishness when it comes to that. You have to be willing to be still. You have to be willing to listen through and hear. Remember a couple of weeks ago we defined being led by the Spirit. Well, that takes humility, man. It takes a whole lot of it, depending on what you're going through and what assignment you might have and what task you have to finish and what people you're leading or how you're serving. You got to have some humility. And false humility is not even a close substitute. It's just basically false humility is basically pride in disguise. That's what false humility is. So I'm going to go to the Word of God like I always do because that's the best place to go. And I'm just going to be talking to you just like I would talk to a close friend of mine, of people that I love and care about this Word and how important it is in our life. Starting with Peter. In 1 Peter 5 and 6, and then I'm going to go to James. I'm going to be in James a little bit too. But in 1 Peter 5, it says, likewise, you who are younger, be subject to the elders. Clothe yourself, all of you, with humility toward one another. For God opposes the proud, but but he gives grace to the humble. So what I want you to focus on is what happens when you're not humble. God opposes the proud. He gives grace to those who are humble. And it's important to remember about maybe in some ways we don't always think about how am I opposing God, you know, when it comes to, you know, being humble. And I think that that's only a question you can answer. I'm not going to answer that for you. I can answer it for myself. When I'm resistant against something, even if, or I don't agree with it. Now, you can agree with something and don't, and not resist. You can just disagree, but that doesn't mean you're resistant. I think that has to do with a heart issue, opposing. I mean, coming against the word of God or resisting the word of God. But he says God opposes those that are proud. When I try to rise up against something that God has said, but if I humble myself, he gives me the ability, which means he gives me grace. He gives grace to the humble. Have you ever heard somebody talk about, you know, dealing with difficult things or challenges, and they said there's enough grace for that, or God has given you enough grace for that. His grace is sufficient. That's a verse. And his grace really is sufficient because he will help you do whatever you need to do. But just keep in mind, when it comes to opposing God, I mean, he opposes us when we're proud, when we try to rise up, especially when it comes to humility towards one another. And yes, we do have to be humble towards one another. And that's not always easy when it comes to people. And I think that's why in this letter Peter is writing to the church, he was saying, with humility toward one another, which means that person is not going to always be right, and you're not going to always be right either. But it's important to have humility towards one another. And in James 4 and 6, he gives more grace. And we talk about this thing with grace, just like we did above. Therefore, it says, God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So there's plenty of grace and enablement, a divine enablement to be humble. As I was thinking about this topic today, I said, Lord, I believe there are times when you empower us to be humble. It doesn't always come naturally for whatever reason. But sometimes we have to ask you, Lord, help me to be humble. Give me the grace to help me access it. Sometimes God has already given us grace to be humble, and we don't realize it. Or we need to come down sometimes emotionally and mentally and say, you know what, the grace is there for me to be humble. God is strengthening me. He is enabling me. He's empowering me. He's giving me the right mind to be. I can do this. So just keep that in mind, that if you're struggling with humility in any way, God gives grace to the humble. You just have to make up in your mind that I'm going to be humble in this situation. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to murmur. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to be prideful in this area, whatever it is. There's grace to do it. And before, you know, there are many times when you go through things that you say you would never go through. It takes humility to go through those things. And then when you're on the other side of that, you might say or realize, you know what, I knew that was God helping me because I just felt empowered, or because this thing didn't bother me anymore. It didn't feel heavy anymore. I was really humbled before the Lord. He really helped me through that thing. And that's what I feel like grace does for us. His grace does for us. And it talks about exalting yourself. Let's go back. I'm going to be flipping back and forth from pride to humility and from humility to pride, just to give you, you know, some more meat about how important it is to recognize this in yourself. When you exalt himself, if he will, everyone who exalts himself will be, and this is in Luke, let's go and see what Jesus said about it. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's promotion. So you know what I mean? When I used to say this a lot when I would talk to my children, it's better to humble yourself than to be humbled. And I would say it's better to humble yourself to be humiliated. You know what I mean? And that wasn't, I wasn't always talking to them about spiritual things, but sometimes I was talking to them about doing something maybe they didn't want to do or something that they knew they had to do, but being humble enough to do it before it became something that they became humiliated by. And it could have been anything, you know, especially when it came to relationships and responsibilities, you know. So it's better to humble yourself, because Jesus said, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And that's people that always are thinking of themselves. You know, that one of the definitions of pride is selfishness. I mean, it's all self. Even low self-esteem, if you look at that closely, is pride. Because once again, you're focusing on what you can't do and how low you are. So that's not, and that's an example of, we'll repeat it, false humility is just pride wrapped up, disguised. That's all it is. So it's important for us to really humble ourselves. And God will exalt us in certain situations. He will have your back. There are places of favor when you allow God to humble you. When you humble yourself. There are places of favor, places of honor, places of salvation and grace that he enables you with. Once again, when you humble yourself. Is it easy? No, ma'am. No, sir, it is not. But I believe because we have the Holy Spirit, it doesn't mean it's easy. It just means it's available to us, and it has to do with our mind. See, many times we have to have a humble mind and a humble heart. You can't think more of ourselves or what we wouldn't do. That very thing that you say you wouldn't do, you end up finding yourself doing it. So don't ever say, I would never do this or I would never do that. And I don't mean, you know, about good and evil. I'm just saying, you know, tasks or different things you wouldn't put yourself up under. It's not ideal. But it doesn't mean that maybe if I have to one day, God, I know you'll help me do that if I need to do that. Because you're with me. You're never going to leave or forsake me, so I can do it. And I know I have the grace to do it. I am empowered to do it. Once again, remember, whoever humbles himself will be exalted. So many times I feel like that exaltation is not just God in helping you do something, but it's how you see yourself, your perspective change. To do it, you get stronger, and once again, he might teach you something or show you something in that place where you have to humble yourself. And to be honest, whatever you can learn, whatever he teaches you that's new, will make you more mature. So that is a level of promotion and exaltation, in my eyes. And whatever it takes to get you to the next side, so to speak. You know how some people say, whatever it takes, I'll do whatever it takes to, you know, to do this or do that, or some people are saving up for all kinds of things in the natural, and some people are saving up for honorable things. At the same time, God is the one that will help you get that whatever you have asked for or prayed for and things that you can have. There's an amount of waiting for those things, and there's a level of humility to be still, to be honest, and not complain and wait with patience. So let God show you what humility looks like in your life based on what you're facing or based on maybe a big assignment you have or a big project you have to finish. But I believe he enables us to do whatever we have to do. He gives us wisdom in those places of humility. We gain wisdom that we didn't have before, and that's why I believe that is a level of exaltation, is the wisdom that we gain, the insight that we gain when we're humbled. When he teaches us his way instead of our own way. Pride teaches you your way. And sometimes it'll teach you somebody else's. Well, just do what they did. You know, pride will speak to you in the most, you know, horrible ways, because it blinds you to what really is going on. I believe pride blinds you, and I believe that humility keeps you open to the ways of God and to the Spirit. And because if that's what your aim is, anyway, it does. And so you see things that you wouldn't see before because you're just humbling yourself, praying and seeking his face. Like it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, everybody quotes this when our society is in a place of crisis, but I think that this can apply to any time at any place in your life. And 2 Chronicles, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, you know the rest, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Now, I want to take this apart a little bit. If my people are called by my name, first of all, who are you in Christ? Do you know who you are? Will you humble yourselves you get in that place of relationship where you pray and seek his face and turn from wickedness. So that can apply to anything. That's just not just with a national or, you know, global crisis that we're dealing with right now, but that applies at any time in your life, especially when it comes humble themselves. I believe that one person being humble can help somebody else be humble. And that goes back to how we serve, love, and are unified with one another, how we love one another, how we serve one another, humility, true humility. I believe that what this verse is saying, humble themselves. So it's talking about a group of people, maybe a nation, called by my name, humble themselves. That means more than one person. We all are accountable to humble ourselves so that we can come together collectively and humble ourselves, how we serve one another, how we serve the body of Christ, how we, you know, evangelize, how we pastor, how we pray and intercede, how we teach, you know, how we, you know, prophesy and save souls and really win souls. It takes a level of humility there. Humble themselves and pray. In Micah, he talks about, in Micah 6 and 8, he talks about praying and walking with God in a humble way. Let me see if I can find that. And it's important that our relationship with God is supposed to be paramount. He has told you, oh man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love and kindness and to walk humbly with your God. And it's important that we walk humbly with God so he can teach us things, so he can show us things, so we can admit where we are, so he can take us further beyond where we are, so we can help serve and love one another, so that we can repent and at times, if needed, do restitution, whatever it takes to really turn from things and humbly walk with God, not walking behind him and not walking before him, walking with him in unison with his plan. Not him, not us taking our plan to him and saying, okay, Lord, fix this and make it yours. No, he's to walk humbly with his assignment and be in his assignment. It's important to hear God. And when you're walking humbly with him, that means you're not just venting to God all the time and complaining, but you're really, you know, asking God, you know, what is your heart? And having a relationship with him, I mean, that takes humility. And I believe that for those who are serious about their walk with God, they understand that. They understand that there's levels of humility that we have to have. And there are sometimes when the Lord just treats us like we're new, and he knows our appetites, and he knows the things that we don't know, and he is so patient with us, and he lets us get away with a whole lot. But then we get to a place where he's like, okay, now. You know, it takes another level of humility to be still and let God really be, and let us be led, be more leadable, you know, stop being so headstrong, stop being so stubborn and, you know, and all these things, you know, grow up, kind of. It takes humility to grow up. Listen, it takes humility to want to grow up. That's what I would go as far as to say that. The desire to even want to walk with God, first of all, comes from him, and second of all, it takes humility. It just does. And to do it to do things his way, that takes humility. We have to walk humbly with God, and we know that humility comes before honor. In Proverbs, it says that several places, and how humility comes before what? Before destruction, a man's heart is haughty, but humility comes before honor. I look at it this way. He is the one that will teach us. He is the one that will lead us and instruct us, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And he also knows what pride will produce and has produced in many of our lives. I mean, the show is called Wounded No More, which means in some cases there were things that we brought on ourselves that created wounds in our lives. And some things happened to us, but then there were things that we created, and he says, okay, I'm going to have to be there. I am there for them to walk them through these places so that they can learn how to love, they can learn how to forgive, and they can learn how to lead and learn how to serve and learn how to be united and learn to be still and learn to be faithful. You know, you name it. But humility comes before honor. And if we're not even seeking honor from men, and which I'm saying, but we'd be seeking honor from the Lord, how he honors our obedience. Many times I pray for people and the Lord will lead me to say he's honoring their obedience, or he's honoring their receptivity, or he's honoring their sacrifice. And I believe he does honor that. But humility comes before that. So it takes humility to be obedient and to follow through and to follow directions and to be faithful and to stay honest and to be separate, be in the world and not of it. It takes humility to do those things, and honor comes later. Honor comes later. And it usually, if it's the most treasured, it comes from God, not men. Because it's nice to get honor from men. I'm not going to act like it's not, because it is nice. It's nice. It makes you feel good. But honor from God is huge, I'm telling you. It means a whole lot more and carries a whole lot more weight, and it encourages you to keep going. And it encourages you to be even more humble in areas and to learn what that looks like in the next place that you're going to be. So just keep understanding that a reward comes when you are humble. Honor, we talked about favor comes, grace comes, enablement, life, promotion, maturity, you name it. Not you name it, but there are other things that humility produces. I truly believe that it helps you recognize in yourself, especially, your weaknesses and your strengths. It takes humility to look at your weaknesses and not make excuses for them and say, God, help me in this area. I'm going to be honest with you, but I'm not going to defend where I am. It takes humility to really come before God and then listen to what he has to say about what came out of your mouth, about your own heart, about your own attitude or whatever it is. And honesty is good, but humility is good too. And those two things together will get you very far. But I believe God wants, he desires truth in the inward part, that we be truthful about certain things. And a lot of times that will foster and cultivate more humility. More humility. God said, I need you to be more humble so I can pour more into you. I'm trying to show you and teach you this, but you can't learn it unless you become more humble before me and before my people. Now, people will fight you tooth and nail. People are not always easy. You get, you know, they up and down and all around. And when you're serving, and I always think of pastors, truly, when I think of this word, is a pastor's heart is a humble heart. A person that has a true pastor's heart is a humble person, inside and outside of serving. That's what I've noticed. They are so compassionate and care about people and care about taking care of them. And I truly believe that they exhibit the heart of the Father. A lot of times when you have a true pastor, they are there for the people. And the people will beat them up and chew them up and spit them out sometimes, but they still have a heart for the people and to serve them. And they don't want to see anybody lost. And if anybody needs anything. So that takes a level of humility to serve people that don't want to be led and don't want to be served and will fight you every step of the way to be right when they're wrong. And I think with all humility and gentleness, a pastor's heart, and really any of the fivefold, it's important to be humble, especially when it comes to serving the people of God. It is not an easy thing. You know, Jesus used children as an example many times to express and compare how the people are to be when he was ministering to them. In Matthew 18:4, he talks about coming to them as a child, you know. And when I think of children, I'm like, what age is Jesus talking about? But some kids are more brazen than others. At the end of the day, they're still children. And so in Philippians, I want to read Philippians 2:5-8. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, he did not count equality with God to a thing to be grasped, but he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. And that Jesus is a perfect example. He was a perfect example of humility in that little piece right there. But I want to go back to the definition of children, how Jesus used children a lot of times to explain about, like, your attitude and your posture, how you should come to him as a small child. For every, let me see. It's in Matthew, and I think it's in Luke as well. But when I think of this, if we could think of an age of a child, I would think of maybe a three-year-old or a very timid. Some of my kids were timid. As a matter of fact, I was timid as a child around certain people, especially people that I feared. So think of yourself maybe as a child that was shy. I was shy, too, sometimes. Around certain people. That's what I'm saying. And Jesus said, whoever humbles himself like this child, he was giving himself the greatest, he is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So think of a child's demeanor when they want something. They want something from you. They may not know you. They may not, you know, talk to you. They may be shy.
Amen.
But when they want something, they'll come to you timidly. They'll come to you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, kind of look at you in a certain way and, you know, and sit before you or wonder if they want something. But even if they don't and they're just a small child, I think that when it comes to wanting something, how we pray to God with a truly humble heart and not looking for any, you know, recognition necessarily. Because when the child is really bashful, they don't even want you to bring attention to them. They just want to get what they want, and then they'll go away quietly. That's the kind of child I used to be. It was just like, don't bring attention to me. I just want to get that one thing, and I'll leave. But I think it has to do with our humility and being meek. I think meek is the word that is interchangeable with the word with humility.
Yes.
Being meek.
Amen.
And
yes.
One of my youngest daughters, her name is Rachel, but her middle name is Morgan, and it's called Lamb. Rachel means lamb, and baby lamb. And when I think of a lamb, I think, especially a baby lamb, I think of meat, you know. And so if whatever visual that God has given you or something, you think of humility. You may not be thinking about a child. You may think of a lamb or something else. But I think it really points to the attitude. It really points to the posture that you have towards that thing. Humility will produce a teachable spirit. It will produce love. It will produce a different insight to help you, a strength that you have about you, to serve, to love, to overlook yourself, to put yourself last and put somebody else first. Truly doing it and how you serve. I mean, the best servers, let's just think about the best servers are the ones who are totally catering to that customer or to their patron. That whatever they want, they get, because that person is there, not over talking them, not telling them what they think they want. They're asking them. And so serving takes a level of humility, truly serving. When you have a servant's heart, they get abused a lot. True servants get abused a lot. That's just the truth, especially nowadays, which is why a lot of people don't want to be servants. I understand it, or to serve one another. But you will get abused.
Amen. Come on now.
You'll be misunderstood, and it takes a level of humility to say, God, I'm going to do whatever you tell me to do, and just be honest with them and say, this is one of them days that I don't want to, but you know what's in my heart. And help me to do this, and he will help you. There's grace enough to do it. So, and that makes you great. And then there comes a level of honor in that. He honors your obedience under pressure. I truly believe that. He honors your obedience under persecution. I truly believe that. He honors us and truly being obedient, deciding I'm going to go all the way even before we know what's on the other side. He honors that. It takes a level of humility to not give up, not knowing what's coming. To continue to say yes to God, it takes a level of humility and courage and say, I'm going to keep going, unless you say different. So I think that we have to say, your way, Lord, not my way. Just like Jesus did in the garden. Not my will, Lord, but your will. And he was sweating blood. He was saying, take this cup from me, right before he said that. So that, I think, is like, that's when it becomes sacrificial in that example. But I just want to bring the point across that humility will take you very far. It'll take you very far. And it'll put you in, like people saying, being in situations where they are humbling situations to serve in a level where I know that Bishop Cook has served in this way, where she's seen some of the worst things. She's dealt with homeless people. She's dealt with addicts and different people that serve a demographic. It takes a level of humility to not look down on those people.
Amen.
And see them as, this is a soul. This is a soul. And God knows the ones we can trust to do that. So this topic is ministering to me in so many ways. God was dealing with me about this last week, and I didn't, it was just, something that he was telling me about to be teachable. He was dealing with me about teachability. A person who thinks they know everything, being prideful, can't be taught anything. You don't even have the perception that you need to have when you're prideful.
That's right. Amen.
So the moment that you become humble, truly, he can show you so many things that the average person would never see. In your walk, and how you serve, in your assignment, in your family, how you pray, how you fast, so many different facets, how you study the word, to do the word. Like what? It's boundless. I mean, it's limitless. Your receptivity to the word is important. You need humility to be able to say, I'm going to read and I'm going to study the word so that I can understand, Lord, what you want me to do and who I am. And it takes a level of receptivity to listen to the word and be taught by somebody who maybe you don't like or whatever your issue is, but it has nothing to do with that person. Be receptive to the word. What is the word saying? What is the word saying to you? And for you, say, the humble people, but the haughty eyes you bring down. So there's so much salvation, and it's progressive for many of us because we're going, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, is that we have to stay receptive and submitted to the Lord. Now, there are so many different synonyms that I can think of when it comes to that word, humility. But I'll go back to my definition that I like the most today. It's freedom from pride or arrogance. Freedom from pride.
Amen. I like that.
I'm free. And every area of your life, are you free from humility? Are you free from arrogance? I'm going to say no, I'm not free from in every area of my life.
Not every area.
But I want to be. I believe I will be. I believe it's exactly. But I know the areas where I am free from pride and arrogance, and it is a great feeling. It is such a great feeling to be in bondage and not to be wounded no more. That's what we're talking about. That, to me, is freedom for real. And I know. But if you choose to be on this road of new levels of humility, God will show you some great and mighty things. Every time when I go through a phase, and I don't know, Bishop Cook, this has been my life so far since I've been serving it, is that when I go through different things or where I know that God is changing the assignment or sharpening or taking me to a new level, he always deals with me in advance about humility.
Yes. Amen. Amen.
He tells me He said, you know,
That's good, prophetess. Mm-hmm.
You can't have the same eyes and you can't have the same way of hearing in this place. You have to be more humble before me in this next place so that you will be prepared for the things that I'm going to show you and the things that I want to teach you and the level of obedience that you have to be walking in.
Mm-hmm,
and the level of humility is going to change.
That's right.
And he will break it down to in what areas, you know what I mean? He breaks it down to what areas. And sometimes, you know, it's a lot. I'm not going to act like, I'm just so happy when the God. No, it's not. He killed your flesh for real. So there's levels of.
For real.
And I think he said that's all a part of it. And I think it just helps us to helps me to have a more excellent spirit and be realistic about what's coming forward, knowing that God, I know you're going to help me, right? Of course. But there's no other way to do it, so there's no detours and there's no, you know, exits and no multiple choices and no negotiating. So
that's right.
I just have to say, I'll go this way. It's not in the man's way to direct his path. So therefore, we need to be humble to follow in a way that we haven't been accustomed to, or nobody is talking about. You know how some people say,
I ain't never heard
about that. I ain't never seen that. Guess what? If God is saying that to you, then that's God saying that to you, and you shouldn't be looking for another way or another path for you.
Mm-hmm.
That takes humility to just be still and let you speak. That means you need to be taught something or show you something you've never seen before. So, you know, I don't think that's right, or I don't agree with this because I ain't never seen that. And the Lord said, that's why you need to be taught. Okay?
Exactly.
Okay. So it's great to learn. I've always liked school.
I love learning.
Rare kids. Me too. I love to learn.
I love learning. I love to learn.
Learn something new that you don't know. I don't know. You know what, Bishop? I realize that I study the Word of God, the more that I realize I do not know.
That's like Paul said, the more I think I know, the more I know I don't know anything.
And that's exactly what my sentiment this whole year. I am not very, very transparent right now. It's like God kept flipping the script constantly and flipping it. And he said, I'm going to flip it some more. So I think that and one day I was just in tears all day. I was like, I just don't know what. And he said, but this is where I want you to be.
Right.
Because then I can,
because
I can teach you. What truth, you know, truth. He wants to have truth in the inward part.
Yeah.
And he wants us to understand the word so that what we're doing, we can walk in authority and dominion because we know what it is. And so, humility. I said, Lord, this is, I don't know anything. He said, how are you going to do anything if you don't know it? Which means you probably wasn't doing much or nothing either. Like you thought you were. And in that same breath, he said, we got far to go. And now, he just begins to take you to another level because he can trust you to not be in a place of pride where you're lying to yourself and self-deceiving yourself about where you are. So
that's right.
I just thank God for this because it really goes along with what I taught a couple of weeks ago about walking by the Spirit, listening and hearing, desiring. Takes humility to walk by. And be consistent. I want everybody to be encouraged. I don't want anybody to be discouraged or to dwell too much on mistakes or guilt. That's not how it works. If God is showing you something, it's because he loves you and he knows who you are and he wants you to agree accordingly, not just what you say, but what you do and how you think.
Yes.
Everything else. So,
amen.
It's a good thing when God begins to show you who you are. He shows you good and bad. He don't just show you bad or he don't just show you good.
Amen.
He shows you both.
Amen. That's right.
He shows you both.
That's good.
And so,
hallelujah.
I want to close with this. In Philippians 4, let me see. Excuse me. In Philippians 4 and 12, and this is Paul speaking, and he says, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. And in every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger and abundance and need. What did he learn? He knew how, because how to abound in little and how to abound in much. And that's humility to me.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Amen. Amen.
Right there.
Yes, it is. Because that says you trust in God. Mm-hmm.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
Amen.
And so he had learned that through the things that he had went through. Through facing plenty and dealing with hunger and dealing with lack. He trusted God. And he had to utilize some level of humility to get to that place where he learned the secret.
That's right.
Yes. That's what I want to leave everyone with. Be encouraged, and I hope that there's something that God spoke to you, not me speaking to you, but me allowing God to speak through me so that it'll carry you on in this area in some kind of way for the rest of the year or the year after that, because there's much that God is doing in the kingdom.
Yes, amen. Well, my brothers and sisters, we have heard a wonderful teaching on humility tonight by Prophetess Vanessa. And right now is the time that I love most of all, because you have an opportunity to touch and agree or just praise God. I praise God for the message and for the messenger. It was on point. But if you would like to also tell our sister, touch and agree with our sister, if you would kindly press your 1. I will address you by your area code and the last 4 digits of your phone number. But I must say, you were very clear, very concise. There shouldn't be any questions. We have to be completely void of pride. I would like to just go back, and I just want to say to you servant leaders, I'm going to tell you seriously, the longer you serve, the humbler you get. Because God, as he takes you from level to level, your attitude of gratitude goes up. Your desire to please him even more goes up. You just want to sit at his feet and always be, you know, at the right place, at the right time, doing what he wants you to do. So, you know, I just, you know, look at yourself and please don't get caught up in the false humility, as Prophetess Vanessa has said. You know, people see your actions, but God knows your motives. And, you know, he created you. So please be honest with yourself. Hallelujah. If you need to bring it down a few notches, bring it on down. Hallelujah. The Lord will work with you. But we just need to keep it humble. And if you, now of all times, it's not a better time than to see the humility that God displayed when he allowed himself to leave heaven, strip down of his deity. Hallelujah. Don filthy flesh so that he can be our propitiation. He came into this world knowing that he would have to die. But he loved his father, and he was going to obey his father, and he, just as we need to, because that's what true humility is. Are you willing to go the distance with God, for God, his way? That to me is true humility. So, Prophetess Vanessa, I want to thank you for this phenomenal message, this lesson. I don't think I was trying not to reteach what you have already so beautifully taught. But since I see no ones, I see no everybody. Oh, you did have one, a couple in the chat room. The young people enjoyed it. my sister. They just want me to know, let you know that they enjoyed it. Because this is a very good point this young lady made, Beverly. This is a good point young Beverly made. She said, you know, one of the biggest turnoffs in churches is they tell you that they love you, and then they look down their noses at you, and they judge you, and they gossip about you. And she said, you know, where is the humility in that? Beverly, there is no humility in that, precious one. Don't be trying to find humility where there is none. And I know you were being, you were asking a rhetorical question, but that's exactly right. You know, if we want to be truly be like Jesus, we must be humble and we must show humility in the face of adversity. And I really like what you said, Sister Vanessa, about when the Lord finna do something with you, he really has to go before you and deal with humility first.
Yeah.
Because I'm finally moving back to the Midwest. Okay. We've been having a lot of conversations with me about humility lately. For the simple, you know, for the simple fact, you know, I'm of a mindset. I'm a woman of God. I left here a child. I came back a bona fide, qualified, certified woman of God. So what you go? So you're not about to tell me what I ain't gonna do, can't do, won't do. I don't care. So the Lord has to talk to you, know, but the Lord is truly talking to me because I do want to make it come back to my hometown and make a difference. But I cannot do it if I'm coming at them from this militant, you know, half angry, passive aggressive.
Exactly.
Because you know what I'm really tripping on is I know what y'all thinking, and you're wrong. So you ain't gonna, you know. So that ain't nothing but me being saying you ain't gonna tell you not the boss over me.
You're not running me. I know.
Me telling you. Me what I'm gonna do. I'm not getting off no sidewalk for you.
Oh yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot, and he knows our heart.
Girl!
So he'll bring that very thing and say, you know, he, oh, gosh.
When you said humility, I started laughing because I said, yes, Lord, talk to me.
It's a lot. And some things didn't change that much since you left.
No, it's like stepping back in the 70s or something, and it's like with that mentality. So, you know, the father has to, you know, I've got a California mindset.
I know, that's totally different.
And so, you know, I got to, look, the Lord said, okay, keep it humble. Keep it humble. I got you, you know. But you do, you just want to go in there and just, you know, you really do have to pray for humility. I know I do.
I do too.
Because I worked hard to be able to speak different languages and do all the stuff that God has blessed me to do, you know, and I'm not going to let anybody diminish the Christ in me,
right.
You know, and but the Lord said, baby, you can do that with, by just standing. Without the attitude, though. stand in humility. Then I got to thinking about Jesus standing before the Sanhedrin. You know what I'm saying? Now, he could have called them people a whole lot worse than vipers and hypocrites. He was still who he was. And if we are children of God, we need to walk in humility because who will believe our report? You know, if the world thinks that Christians are just a bunch of cliquish, stuck up, prideful, judgmental people, let's not play into that for them. We need to be showing them a more excellent way. We need to be serving them and praying for them and sharing the word with them as Jesus would have done if he was still walking around down here. So I just want to thank you, Prophetess Vanessa, for that awesome, awesome word. And I just pray that all of you will continue to be blessed throughout this holiday season. We pray that you be safe. Please wear your mask. Use your hand sanitizers.
Yes.
Use that wisdom, please. Be careful. Wash your hands often. So we just pray that you have a beautiful, blessed, and a glorious holiday season. So from my household to your household, we pray that you acknowledge Christ in all that you do. And it is our fervent prayer that you be ye transformed. Good night, and God bless you, everyone. Thank you, Prophetess Vanessa.
Thank you.
God bless you.
Thank you, Bishop. God bless.
God bless.